Unless the Buddha, unless the Dharma, unless the Sangha. I begin this week by talking about the fundamental principle of Buddhism, which is that all beings, all of existence, possesses the Buddha nature. All that exists is part of the great body of the eternal, the Dharmakaya, body of truth. Think what an amazing teaching this is. What an incomprehensibly wonderful, profound principle this is. And then think of the fact that there is a straightforward, simple practice which enables us to know this not just because someone has told it to us, but we've read it. That we can come to know it in our own experience and see its working in our own life. At its very heart, the practice of serene reflection meditation is the putting into practice of this principle that all beings possess the Buddha nature. You and I are beings. When we sit down and truly meditate, that is when we open our heart. We open our mind and heart to our true nature in simple childlike faith, in simple childlike reliance. We find ourselves as we're floating in an ocean of compassion, which is the ocean of truth, of our own wonderful true nature. This is what Shakyamuni Buddha discovered, the night of his enlightenment. What he had been hunting for so desperately, but in a misguidedly willful, harsh way. He discovered that what he was seeking was already within his own heart, and that he only had to relax into it in that simple trust, in pure meditation. And there it is. It's not going anywhere. Perhaps because it is everywhere. We may lose sight of it temporarily, but it's still there. When the first Zen masters in Tang Dynasty China turned their backs on the scholarly study of scriptures, scholarly analysis of scriptures that had been brought from India, when they turned their back on fame and gain, on imperial patronage and privilege, and formed their own little communities out in the country, grew their own food, did their meditation. They were participating in a great religious revolution in China, which is reverberating down to us today, sitting in our own little meditation hall out in the country, looking at a wall as they did. They were doing these things out of a profound conviction, a conviction amounting to intuitive certainty, that this truth that all beings possess the Buddha nature cannot just be an abstraction. We've got to be able to know it in our whole body and mind. It's got to be able to solve our problems, free us from suffering, free us from the bonds of greed, hate, and delusion. It's got to be more than just something in a book, words in someone's mouth. It's said that the arrival of a monk from India, great master Bodhidharma, is what sparked this spiritual revolution in China. And it seems that there is always someone who arrives at the right place at the right time with this certainty and this conviction. And is willing to do his or her meditation all alone if necessary, and be content with the eternal. And then just as when it seems like nothing's ever going to happen, a lotus blooms. Right out of seeming utter obscurity. This happens again and again down through the centuries. And it will continue happening. And we are a part of this tradition, which is the very transmission of the life of Buddha. Oh.